It's Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway. Good to have you with us. We hope you're safe and healthy. Now, throughout the course of this pandemic, states have grappled with when and how to reopen. And over the course of the last week, we've seen many of them take their first steps towards a new sort of normalcy. Most are reopening in phases, like North Carolina, where Governor Roy Cooper issued a stay-at-home order that took effect on March 30th. Governor Cooper is a Democrat who was elected in 2016, the same year that Donald Trump claimed victory in the state over Hillary Clinton by just under 4 points. Republicans still control both chambers in the state legislature, but in 2018, Democrats were able to gain enough seats to end the veto-proof supermajority the GOP held. And it's a state Democrats really want to win in 2020. I connected with Governor Cooper to understand how he envisions reopening and keeping North Carolinians safe.
Our stay-at-home order, when phase one goes into effect, will still be in place. People can just do a few more things, but we want to remind people that it's best if you stay home, if you possibly can. This virus is still out there. It's highly contagious. It can kill people. And we still need to work hard to slow the spread.
What is it that you have done in North Carolina that you think puts you in a better position than, as you said, some of your neighboring states or other southern states have done in corralling this virus?
We hit it early, and I think we had strong local officials across the state and a business community and a healthcare community that sounded the alarm. And I think people understood what we needed to do. You only had to flip on a television and look at what was happening in Washington State, in New York, in Italy. And people of North Carolina didn't want that to happen. So we put these rules in place. People, for the most part, followed them. We still, right now, we're still a little over 13,000 cases, but we're a state of almost 11 million. Sadly, we've had 507 deaths. But we are looking at the data in order to make decisions about when we move into next phases. And it's data that people can see on a dashboard. And we can all look at it, see how we're doing. And if we don't believe we need to be going into phase two when the order runs out, we will extend it because public health is going to guide our way. We're getting the information from the health experts about when we go into different phases. We're getting good input from businesses and from employees to determine how we do it when we move into the phases. And I think the bottom line is we want people as safe as possible. What I worry about are these officials who are encouraging violation of the rules. I think you're seeing a lot of other grievances being put on with the mask, so to speak, of COVID-15, that they're using this issue to express other grievances. And that's unfortunate because we are talking about a life or death situation here.
So right now, there are 1 million North Carolinians who've applied for unemployment, and that's about 20% of your state's workforce. What do you say to those North Carolinians who are worried that just are not going to be able to make it to the end of May without getting their job?
Many families are hanging by a thread. There are many people who have filed for unemployment insurance for the very first time. My three-phase plan on this pandemic was to, number one, get people the medical treatment they needed when they got sick, number two, to slow the spread of the virus, and number three, to cushion the blow to the economy. Our unemployment insurance payments going out to people will help. The stimulus payments will help. We're working hard to get small businesses propped up with grants and loans. And we have to continue to push for a way to safely reignite our economy. And we are working as hard as we possibly can. I think with the extra boost from the feds regarding unemployment insurance, that it can help get three people through for a while. But we are going to have to find a way to safely reignite the economy. It's not going to be easy through the next year. As the president wants a raging economy in a few months, I don't see that happening because there's been too hard of a hit. But we do have to carefully and cautiously work our way back while realizing that people are dying and that this contagious virus is going to continue to be with us until we have a vaccine.
The other thing the president really wants to see is the convention, the Republican convention, which is being held in your state, in Charlotte at the end of August. And I just saw that Fox News is reporting that the Republican Party has hired a senior medical advisor to pave, this is their quote, a safe path for the event. Are you in touch with the RNC about the convention and the discussions about whether it happens? And isn't it ultimately up to you whether this convention goes on or not?
Well, obviously, we can have statewide rules that can determine what kinds of meetings can be held, mass gatherings, that kind of thing. But it's too early to be able to tell that at this point. We're here the first week in May. That's in August. Our administration, yes, is talking with Charlotte, with Mecklenburg County, with the RNC about ways to do this. One thing that I have learned is that I think the Democratic National Committee and the RNC are talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats have to make decisions, I think, first about what they're going to do. And so it's good to hear they're talking to each other, because it's a big step to have a lot of people coming from all over the country into a city that, if there's any city in North Carolina that has been our hotspot, it has been Charlotte. With the international airport, it's one of the greatest places to live in the country. But I think that there is some apprehension and concern about the magnitude of this if they do have it. And we're going to continue to keep a close eye on our indicators. We've set up 7 indicators we look at to whether we move into various phases or not. And we're going to have to make that decision when the time comes.
I know Medicaid expansion has been a very big issue for you. You and the Republican-led legislature have been at loggerheads on this. But I saw that the other day the leaders in the House, the Republican leaders in the state House, said they're open to limited Medicaid expansion just to cover coronavirus. Is that something that you can support? And do you think that something like this could make it through the process?
Every single North Carolinian should have health insurance. We have to find a way to close this coverage gap. This has been one of the major battles that I've had with the General Assembly. And in fact, I had vetoed last year's budget, and we still had not settled that veto, because they had not been able to override it and we had not come up with a compromise budget. And one of the main reasons was because they had, in fact, not expanded Medicaid to give health insurance to over 500,000 North Carolinians who don't have it, many of them working. Here we have the bright, glaring lights of a pandemic. If ever you're going to give health insurance to people, now is the time. Was pleased to see the House members talking about this. I think we had better results in the House anyway. Our biggest problem has been the Senate. We're going to continue to push for this. Unfortunately, it may be a November issue. I think likely this is going to be part of a campaign, and North Carolinians are going to be talking about what kind of legislature they're going to elect. We were able to break the supermajority Republican legislature in 2018, and now all of my vetoes are holding. And I think there is a good chance, because our state has won a partisan gerrymandering suit and we do have new districts, there's a good chance that Democrats could take over the legislature, and Medicaid expansion may be one of the biggest issues in this coming election.
And you're up for re-election this fall as well.
I am.
And so
indeed.
do you see that your handling then of this crisis is also going to be on the ballot, a referendum on your handling of this?
Well, clearly the best way to campaign is to do a good job. And I'm working very hard to gain the confidence of the people by being transparent with the data that we're using to make these decisions. The election will take care of itself if I do a good job as governor. But we're going to keep working to move our state forward and to make the right decisions. And I'll tell you, as I was examining challenges that North Carolina would face as I took office of governor, I'll have to admit the global pandemic was not on the checklist. But hey, here we are. And we're going to get through this. I see every day things that give me hope in North Carolina. It is amazing to see that tech worker who's now teleworking post on her Facebook that she would be glad to do childcare for her healthcare friends now that she is home. I see the young granddaughter drawing a picture for grandmother and standing outside the rest home window, holding up the picture and talking to her grandmother through the window because she can't visit in the nursing home. And I see that neighbor who does grocery shopping for that at-risk senior and every week puts the groceries on the doorstep. That's the kind of North Carolina that I know. That's the kind of thing we're going to have to depend on each other for, and together we can get through this and hopefully come out better on the other end.
Well, Governor Cooper, thank you so much for talking with me, and good luck in all that you're doing, and stay safe.
Thank you, Amy. You as well.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.